Welcome to the Unify Endurance Podcast. Welcome, Rob Jones.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening.
Good morning. Mate, let me set the scene. Last week, you were wearing your Hoka hoodie. I was wearing my Hoka hoodie. We locked eyes across an empty cafe, and we both instantly knew that we were going to do a chest bump. No one else was looking. Maybe it's on the CCTV. It was a special moment that only two people wearing Hoka hoodies do.
It should be on the camera.
We and could because get the of footage. That, because of that, the following day, an email arrived in our inbox with the fresh Hoka catalog for 2024.
You've not yet opened it.
I did. Have you?
You've opened it now.
I did it this morning. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I know what I'm talking about.
The front page of that catalog is Jim Walmsley coming across the finish line of UTMB in first place.
So he's someone I know the name of, but I have no idea what he looks like.
Okay, I'll show you now.
Is he skinny? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, never seen him before in my life. Old Jim.
What excites you in this catalog?
The Skyflow X is a brand new shoe.
Right, yeah.
And they've put that X foam, that PEBA special foam in a shoe that apparently is for everyday miles. So that one looks pretty good. I think that's like their shoe that they're saying you can train in it all day, but for minimal sort of lower leg stress coming back from it. So I'm excited for that one. And then actually excited to try the new Mach 6.
Mach 6.
And I was reading as well a little bit more around it, and it has it on the Mach 5, which I'm actually wearing today. But you know this, the way the heel is, mm-hmm. It's split. There's a what they call the swallowtail. And that is so that when you're running and you have uneven surface, the foot can actually move as it should, rather than being, if it's say you've got something on your only on your left side of the foot and it affects the right side with this swallowtail, if you land on something uneven on the left side, actually it helps you absorb it and keep your foot flatter on the floor. So the Mach 6, I'm excited for.
You like that one?
Yeah.
I like the look of the Mach X 2.
Yes.
The Mach X is currently my favorite shoe.
Yeah.
And they've improved the X 2. It's better race ready geometry.
Yeah.
Extra resilient, the PEBA topped midsole.
This is good for memory recall, mate.
Yeah. The rocker profile has been increased slightly for an aggressive toe off. I'm reading right off the plate here.
You are, yeah, yeah.
And they don't have carbon, but they've got that that PBAX plate, which they have. So it's not a carbon shoe, but it's
triple layered.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very...
And let's talk about what people really care. The colors are so much better this year.
I like the colors last year.
So much better. I've put a few in black on black. Stealth
just
shoes.
Just a waste.
Stealth shoes,
it's
yeah.
It's a waste.
Another one, something like Shoreline or something. Shoreline blue or Shoreline green. I don't know.
Yeah. They've taken away one that is missing is the Carbon X 3. I thought there'd be a Carbon X 4. There is not.
No.
It doesn't exist anymore. It's gone.
We don't need that shoe anymore.
It's gone from the lineup.
Celio X 1.
Celio X 1 is their new pure speed propulsion shoe. And it looks very much like, well, there it is there.
Yeah.
You can't see it.
Looks like another shoe that's very famous for being made out of carbon.
Exactly. Maybe our podcast guy can drop a picture up of this shoe if we send him the booklet.
He won't know. it looks good. This morning we ran track and I wore the Rocket X2s and said to you, didn't I? Like, that I've only worn that shoe twice and it just makes you want to run fast. And that's what this new Celio X1 looks like. It looks like you're going to put it on and it's just going to be 315s or get off the track.
Yeah, it looks though like the upper of this X1 is better constructed than that Rocket. The Rocket X feels like it's a track shoe, but with a racing sole, if that makes sense.
For you, it's a trackless shoe.
It's not good for running very long distances in, I can tell you that.
You learned that. Good. Mate, Rack Triathlon on the weekend, I was there. We had people racing the 76 and the 113. Good race. Got pretty warm, as it always does here. You kind of forget in winter, you were sort of lulled into a false sense of coolness. But as soon as the sun came up, 9:30, suddenly everyone on the course started melting. So well done to all the guys who got through the half marathon at the end of the 1:13. The 76ers, they seemed to be quite smug once they'd finished and then got to go straight away, cool down and wait 2 or 3 hours for the longer guys to finish. But I think next year, mate, we should enter a super team.
Super team relay. Who would you pick for your super team? I know I'm not going to be in this super team, so that's absolutely fine. Right, who would you pick to be in your super team of three?
If you could go back to being 16 years old again in your swim squad, a few more training sessions with me on a Monday with the paddles, with your paddles on, I'll take you for the swim.
Thank you.
All right.
I'll train up for it.
If not, Jess Towell, after a good 2 months of her swim training, which is never going to happen, would be great. So I'm picking you, mate, for attitude and the coffee before it.
And support after the swim. I'd finish the swim, hop on a bike and be able to come and cheer along.
Then I'd quite like to do the bike course on my Scott Foyle and try and take over as many TT bikes as possible. That'd be quite fun. And then probably you'd have skinny guy
skinny
doing something
from
the run, right?
The bike course, lots of twists and turns, isn't it?
A couple of roundabouts, a few junctions, a couple of locals who've forgotten the roads closed.
So we call that technical course.
Technical course. Yeah, it'd be quite fun. Yeah, we could do loads of combinations here though. It'd be good. The few people doing it who are doing Oman on the 17th of Feb. So that's the next. So Rack 113 is the only middle distance race available now in the region. The next one, which is, sorry, not in the region, in the UAE. The next one in the region is Oman
70.3,
which is 17th of Feb. So
that's right.
If you're still thinking of scratching that middle distance itch, you have time. However, you probably should have a decent level of fitness and not just decide to go couch to 70.3 in 4 weeks.
Because we used to have the Dubai Triathlon. It was at the Hilton up by the marina.
Not anymore.
In the stadium in Al Kudra. And then there used to be obviously the Ironman, but that's all gone, poof, gone.
Also gone. So we will be there in Oman. We will be doing some mountain biking and arrive there on the Saturday, ready to support. If road triathlon is not your thing anymore and you fancy a bit of Xterra, 3rd of March, we will be at Xterra Oman, which is in Musandam. That will be a fun one. We're all racing that pretty much. You, me, Marcus.
Yeah.
Guinea probably won't, but yeah, there's a few of us going there. And if you really enjoy that or you feel like you want something off-road to target in a few more, probably a more realistic training time frame, then we are going to Xterra Greece on 27th of April, which Greece is now your country. When I think of Greece, I think of Rob Jones.
Yes, I have many friends.
Yeah. And the 27th of April is 3 days before my birthday, so we'll be there doing shots of olive oil.
Before?
Before.
Good.
If that's not enough and you'd like to do some training all these races.
There is more.
On the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of February, we are going to Jebel Jais for our infamous Jebel Jais camp. It is for coached athletes, but if you would like to come along and join, we can let you in on a couple of details. You can email twinnerfight.com for that. And then the last big, local big dance of the season, 24th of Feb, Rack Half Marathon. Are you going for it, mate?
I am not. I will go and I'll support.
Oh, really?
I think I've had my fill of the Rack Half Marathon.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've run my last Rack Half Marathon. No way. Yeah.
Last year? You didn't run it
2 years
year.
Ago. I didn't run it last year either. Me and Skinny cycled it.
That was the year I ran it.
This year you ran.
I relaxed last year.
Ah, so I haven't done it for 2 years. 3 years was the last time I did
it. So it's time. Come on. Come on. We'll do twice the Track Tuesday set you did this morning.
I'll save myself for the Xterra double hit that we have the weekend after.
Fair enough. Okay.
Because we're going to go and run the half marathon before the race, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Trail.
There's a trail half marathon on the 2nd and then the off-road triathlon on the 3rd.
Yeah. The other person who will be with us in Oman is our guest today. Now, if that's not a segue, I do not know what is.
Fantastic segue.
I'm really excited for today's guest. He has been a client since, as you'll hear, 2019, and just has an amazing attitude, outlook, and way of going through life. Actually, I think today's show was even too short to get all the best bits from him, but you have to hang around with him a bit more to hear the golden nuggets he drops from time to time. This show, yeah, he chats about how he got into endurance, the incredible rate at which he improved in 1 year, but what it actually means to him and how it relates back to him being happy in life and bringing up his children and also being a role model to people around him as well. It's a really, really good show. I hope you take a lot from it. And I'm happy to say our guest today is Humayd Al-Ghandi.
Hope you enjoy it.
We're good?
Yep.
Humayd, welcome. Thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
It's something I wanted to ask you actually to come onto the podcast for a while. But a few weeks ago, we were at your beautiful Majlis out in the desert.
In the desert.
And you were talking to a group of people and I was like, okay, I need to do this. In 2024, Humayd will come and talk on our podcast. So thank you.
My pleasure.
You, well, have a very, to me, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners, a very interesting story of how you got into the endurance game and endurance sport. But I want to take you back to a memory of the year 2019 to the first or second week of January. I haven't got the exact date, where you ran your first marathon, Dubai Marathon.
Yeah, that was, didn't go very well. So I was lacking the knowledge for racing such thing. I pushed hard first half and then problems started on the second half. This is where I was like, didn't have the right nutrition, didn't have the right hydration. So basically, I didn't know how to handle such thing. It took me 5 hours, 38 minutes.
Yeah.
But then I decided I was more like, no, I need to do this properly. And this is what triggered me to go, okay, I need to plan for this properly and get to the right people or the right environment to do this.
Yeah.
And then I did the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll come to the second one.
Yeah.
But how did you get to a start line of a marathon in the first place? What led you there?
I see Dubai is always active with sports. You always see an event happening. And that was triggering me to, why not? I can do this. Why can't I do this? Or I would see someone and I know their fitness level. I would talk to myself, if they can do it, I can do it, you know? At that time, I was also doing trail running, OCR racing and all that. So I've been doing the running. I've been putting the efforts and everything. But I never did a road race. You know, always off-road.
Yeah.
And that's completely different. And I think you agree with me.
Yeah.
The road is not easy.
I think it's harder. The road is much harder.
Yes. You get breaks when you do trail running.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the uphill, the downhills, and maybe the walks and all that. So there's a trick.
It's socially acceptable to walk in the trails.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine running on the road and you have all these people cheering for you and you're walking.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
No, at all. So I wanted to really get myself into the road running, which is you set a target.
Yeah.
The best target is like Dubai Marathon.
Yeah.
And I know people travel for it, you know, travel, like spend the money for getting to a race or a marathon in other cities.
Mm.
Well, the Dubai Marathon is happening right here, right next door. And it would be a shame not to do it.
Yeah.
You know, you never know when, how often you can do that.
Yeah.
So I decided, let me do that. It didn't go well. Then this is what also made me go again. Let's do it again, properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is how I got into it, and from there onward, I moved out trail running and mountain biking. I'm more on the road now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a nice kickoff. Let's see. Yeah.
So 1 year on, so 2020. you ran, so you went from 5 hours 38 in your first to 4 hours and nine.
Yes.
1 year later.
Yeah.
A year is a long time for training.
Yes. So it's 1 hour 30 minutes.
That's a lot of time to shed, really, from the previous race. And but that's maybe what I look at it is the first race wasn't that good anyway. I mean, the second race, it looked, I felt like this is it. This is what I can do, given the circumstances that I was going through and the conversion from trail running to road running. There's a difference. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
So, and I remember coming to you for the plan for the race.
Yeah.
And you said to me, okay, we'll split run this. A negative split.
Yeah.
And I was like, to me, all these terms are all new to me. I never came across these things. And I still remember that day when you showed me like a graph, small handwritten graph. It was like, you go faster at the end. And it was like, it would be good if I can reach there in the first place and go faster.
Yeah.
It worked, though. It worked. And I did have a split run on that race. I was so happy.
Yeah.
I was running. You didn't know that, but I was running. There was someone else running, and we were having a challenge.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So I did beat time-wise. I beat. I gained a lot than what he could have gained. He's younger by 12 years, but I was being challenged by him.
So yes,
that push was there as well.
So yeah,
but I was so happy. I even taken a picture together.
Yeah,
with him. He's so sad, and I'm so happy. So clear, you know, the results. So clear there.
And that was your first year of endurance training, and since then you've just consecutively year after year continued with it, and you know, we're 4 years on now.
Yes.
But in that first year, I always think, Rob, you probably see it the same. Your longer time clients, their first year in the endurance game, if you like, you learn so many lessons that like the rate of improvement is just beyond, but it obviously affected your life in such a positive way that you were like, okay, I need to keep endurance sport in my life. What did you see change through that first year from 2019 Dubai Marathon to 2020 Dubai Marathon?
There's so much knowledge you need to gain, whether it's in nutrition and hydration and fitness and recovery, which includes sleeping and all that. You need to organize everything around that, you know, and your lifestyle as well. So I've adjusted so many things, the things that I've mentioned, in order to achieve this target.
Yeah.
You can't, let's say, I see people around me like that. They sleep less, they spend the nights out, and then they do get up in the morning and go, they won't perform. That this lifestyle will catch up with them, you know. And I almost somewhat been there. I don't stay out late, but I was workaholic most of the time. And then I still do, I do OCR, trail run, mountain bike. I do wake up in the morning and hit the trails, hit everything. But that will really affect your health, your life, your mental status, how you really deal with stress, and let's say in the office, with the family. You need to balance everything out. So one time I was diagnosed with thyroid, hyperthyroid, and it's been going on for many years. And then when I was diagnosed with that, it hit me. Like the doctor said, this is from stress. You're having too much stress. You need to cool down. You need to control stuff. And it's not medication. It's not nothing else. It's you. So from there, I decided, okay, I need to do this properly. I need to go on a plan. I need to reach someone who will guide me through, which for the sport side. And for the office side, I started delegating. I used to to be like the one-man show, everything. I liked it, I enjoyed it, I like everything, but it's taking my health away, and it's taking my time away from my family as well. I need to be with them, you know. So that what triggered me going into this, or spending more time in my health side than my work. So this is when I started to say, okay, let me pick targets. I like to pick targets. And Dubai Marathon is one. And then I also picked up, during a race, I pick up a target, which I learned from trail running and OCR. During the race, you pick up a target, like another athlete.
Mm.
Yeah, and you try to, you know, beat them. And then once you're done with that, you pick another one. And you keep going like that. So these small targets, but the main target is the finish line there and the time ahead. So I've said to myself, one main target is I need to be healthy. I need to be fit, you know, so I can do the other stuff as well. I can do the work. I can do the family. And I look after myself.
Yeah.
So this is how I kept moving from one target to another.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my marathon, the second one, was an epic achievement for me personally. And another reason why I really focused on doing that, I have a friend. He used to be an ex UAE national team marathon runner. So when I told him about my first marathon, he was laughing at me. So, but I kept it going. I said, no, I'm going to do this on my own. Didn't go well. And I told him. So he laughed again. I told him about the result. He said, I told you, you can't do it. I said, okay. So I did it the next time, and I achieved much better results. And I told him. He kept quiet. So every time I set a target or a race to really do, I just finish it, and then I go and tell him.
Yeah.
I've done this. I've done Ironman. I've done this. I qualified for that. I've done this. I've been doing this to him every time, Eris. And every time he has no answer to me. Nothing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's great. I mean, for me, I feel good in achieving such things because he's such a negative person always. But that negativity, I translate it to positivity.
Yeah.
You know, I control whatever the outcome I want as possible as I can.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was fun. Still fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, still going.
And you've not been immune to setbacks either.
No.
You've had your fair share of setbacks. And I think it's fair to say there was a time probably about a year and a half ago where we fell into a place of probably overtraining, where you felt you had to get everything done and there was no room for missing things. Yes. But the actual... what came out of that? Well, we'll discuss it now, but you've then gone through this period of realizing sometimes less is more.
Correct.
And the last couple of months, you've gone through the period where you've been injured with some things with your knees and your shoulders. And even at the point over New Year's where your little son said to you, you know, why aren't you running today?
Yes.
And you had to explain to him, you know, let's see, it's okay. I want to be with you and I want to go for a walk with you and not feel like I'm a slave to the program.
Correct. Yeah.
Did you feel that happening? But let's go back nearly 2 years ago now to where the overtraining part came in and we had to really look at your weeks again and figure out where we get more rest and more recovery. Can you remember how you were feeling then?
I was always tired. You know, I was always pushing every training session. I was pushing myself to get it done. that tick mark is a mental thing became for me. I was so obsessive, let's say with Training Peak, that the red or the green color should be always there. I can't miss it, you know. Mentally, it didn't settle well with me. But again, that's not good. You need to look into yourself and take a break, you know, in order to achieve something. So overtraining, definitely, it's a mistake from my side, mainly because it's me who feels the overtraining, not the coach or no one else. It's me. I have to make that decision. And it was hard for me to take that decision until I started getting injuries and stuff like that. So took the injury, took breaks, took recoveries, or have the recovery in the plan.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you remember what we did?
Yeah, we took a week. I mean, every week there is one break, like there is one recovery day. I don't exactly know what exactly you're referring to, but...
Well, I remember we had to move down to 2 days off a week.
Yes.
If you remember, for about 6 to 7 weeks.
Yes.
Which was a huge change for you.
Yep.
Because you were used to 1 day off a week.
Yes.
Maybe 1 day off every 10 days.
Yeah.
And I remember still, you walked into the cafe and I was sat down and I remember you walking in, sitting next to me, and you said to me, 2 days off a week has changed everything.
Yes. Yes.
And it was like, to me, it was a lesson of like how powerful just one extra rest day when someone is in an overtrained state.
And I've seen that in the last season, that all the races I've done. I've achieved good results.
Yeah.
You know, one race after another.
Yeah.
Like three Ironmans in a row. And in between there was Rack marathon.
Yeah.
And then half marathon.
Yeah.
Yeah, half marathon run. They were all like nicely done, I would say.
Yeah.
Even Bahrain, when I finished, I'm like, I can still do more. You know, I'm still having energy. Like 20%, 30%.
Yeah.
I was amazed. It's just with a small change, like take a break, you know, recover.
Yeah.
It's a huge part of it for me.
Yeah.
And I also use that for the family time.
Just, yeah.
You know.
Do you think that maybe some of the overtraining came from the fact that you were stressed, you had hyperactive thyroid, and then you used fitness to make yourself feel better? So you thought that if you trained more, you'd feel even better again. And perhaps it's then a vicious cycle of if you didn't train, you'd go back to feeling stressed, fatigued again.
Well, when I was not training, I was definitely not healthy.
Yeah.
I was thyroid was one of the results of not training. Did I think overtraining was, if I stop overtraining, I would get sick or something?
Mm.
Not necessary, no, because I was having objectives, I was having targets to achieve, you know, to go after, because if I don't, I get lost.
Yeah.
If I don't have a target, it becomes harder to train. For me, I need some challenge. I need to set a target and work for it. Without it, you get lost. This is the same thing with in life, business, family. If you don't have a target, you get lost. What I do now with my kids, help them set a target. I won't teach them, or I won't be there for them every day.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a target, it becomes easy. I know it becomes easy for them to really achieve what target they want. I'll help them along the way, but I won't be there all the time.
What sort of targets do they have? What do they look like?
I have my son, Sultan, he's a skier. His target is to get to the Olympics. And with that, we need to do a lot of training outside, not here in Ski Dubai.
Yeah.
And a lot of backflips. Huh? Yeah. I've seen videos. This kid is
really
so talented.
Yeah. So I'm always surprised what, you know, when I see him, I'm always surprised. Like, how can a desert boy like this, you know, doing stuff like that? Now,
yeah.
It's not possible. So, but it is possible if you have a target. He's so keen about it.
Mm-hmm.
He plans a whole trip for himself. Like, he will plan the transportation, the hotel, the coach there, the lift tickets, all the costing, everything, so he can go there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 16 now.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully that big target, he will achieve it. But we're working on it. Yeah. And my elder son, he's 20 years old now. He used to do or ride endurance horse racing, which goes on for like 10, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
He's so gifted. The racing over here, they don't really look into the gifted athletes in such sport. They just want someone who just listen and executes without really using their brain.
Mm-hmm.
He participated in a race outside UAE for endurance race on an international level. He's never done a race outside Dubai or UAE. So this first time he goes there, he leads the race the whole way until the last 1K. His coach gives him a sign to back up and let your teammate who's on second to come first. I didn't know about that. I was so angry. He said, yeah, he was there on track and he told me this. I says, you put the effort.
It's like Formula One.
And then, yeah, exactly.
Politics.
Exactly. And I told him, you know, next time you're not going to listen to your coach or whoever owns the horse even when you're on the finish line. Just go for it.
Yeah.
I mean, that pleasure, you missed it. And this is also reflects with me when you see the finish line and you feel good.
Mm.
You really go for it. And then, you know, that feeling I wanted them to feel. And that's the taste of winning. And when you taste that one, you want again and again and again. You want to keep do that. So he went again for the second race next year. And he got first place. Because he didn't listen to and then he retired from he's retired. But I'm glad that I'm having some positive effects on my kids,
mm-hmm.
and my friends.
That you've learned through endurance sports.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've learned it from here, actually. So I know some people won't take a direct advice that, you know, face to face.
Yeah.
But if you act the advice, they will take it.
Yeah.
Mm. Quietly.
And even more so in your culture, it's very much do by doing. You know, you learn by doing.
Yes.
Because you're so close and you have, you know, big families and close families.
Yes.
That you're at home with them, they're watching you. Yeah. They're watching your every move.
Yeah.
They're always learning from you. Yes. And as we said before, the example of over New Year when you didn't go for a run.
Yes.
He said, why?
Yeah, he was serious when he was asking me. Like he was questioning rather than asking a question.
You checked your training peaks. Yes.
Yeah. Why are you not going? Is it, it's time. It's not time for training. It's time to spend this, you know, different time with you guys. So they're watching.
Mm.
I mean that's very interesting for me. That reemphasizes what I'm doing, really affecting the people around me. And maybe they're watching what you're doing, and maybe they will come into your footsteps for the future. So what I care is for my kids to learn the positive, the good things and all that. So, and they're implementing that, which is good.
The lessons from that first year between the marathons, which I see as being such a big year for you, you know, remembering that year well and remembering you, like you said, learning what a negative split means.
Yes. And the nutrition.
And nutrition. And the hydration. And all of those things to the part where we got to that. I remember it very well as well, the overtraining stage where you learned then, oh, actually, I need to actually feel what's going on in my body and listen to it and understand, you know, if I keep pushing on and tell myself I'm not feeling tired, but I really am tired, I'm going to lose this sport that I love.
Yes.
In and around those things, as you said to Rob, you've always got a target that you want to set and achieve. Yeah. But you've, in the last 4 or 5 years, you've not necessarily done better performances because you are getting older. We're all getting older, but you're getting older, and what we can ask from your body is becoming less.
Correct.
How do you look at a target when it's not necessarily a better performance, but you set a target of doing a race, but you know in your head maybe it's not going to be faster, but you're still motivated to do it? How do you do that?
Initially, why I started in this is to get healthier. Okay, so even if I don't really achieve the race target, but I have achieved being a healthier person in every race. So as I said, every time I need to set a target, my overall target is being healthier. And I can do that through racing. They become the individual targets. So how can I really keep up? Such a thing is because I'm enjoying it. You know, I'm having fun with it. I found the right, let's say, environment, which is the community, an RFID community, which I've never been there before in such community. This is a really big positive help. You know, even if I'm not racing, just doing a crew or helping someone really give me the enjoyment of helping someone else. Previously, when I started the OCR, it was only me, like no community, nothing, you know, there's no plan. I kept pushing and pushing and because I was enjoying it until a time where it came, I lost that enjoyment in that sport because of many reasons, but I started thinking, where can I go next? Which sport? And then when I found, when I heard about Ironman Dubai, I see a lot of people do it, and some people can't even walk, but they still do it. Now, that's the question. Why they keep going? It's really hard to comprehend what exactly motivates or pushes these people, who can only walk even, can't even run. But they just finish a swim, finish a bike, 90, and then they have to do a 21K run. Yeah. What pushes them? This is a massive question for me. I mean, if they can do that, I can do this. So I said, okay, after the marathon, let me do this. And this is immediately like after the marathon, I came to you, I told you I need to do an Ironman.
I remember.
Immediately. Yeah, so it's something that really attracts me. It's like a magnet. Okay, that's a target. That's what I'm going to work on. It is hard in the beginning, yes. But afterward, it's cruising. You really improve. You keep improving and improving. So this is how I take it. I can't see anything else. I mean, I've been looking at when I drop my kids to school, which happens to be near a Safa Park, you see people running outside the Safa Park early in the morning. For me, at that time, it was, you're crazy running at this time, you know? Now I understand. If you don't do that, you're crazy. So, I used to monitor and see stuff. I never understood. Now I understand completely. I do have the knowledge where people ask me for advice, and they ask me whether they should move toward this kind of sport or that kind of sport, and why I did this, why I did that. These kind of questions, they keep me going, for myself. I don't see that I need to stop for any reason. I'll keep going if I can, as long as I can. You know, there's no, I don't see an end. I'll keep going. Yeah.
How do you measure happiness now versus when you were, say, workaholic or, 10 years ago, let's say? Do you think about happiness and the measure of it?
Yes. It's when you achieve something. That achievement is similar to when you reach the finish line. That happiness in the finish line. This is your achievement. And this is what I really want to achieve every time. And I want to have that adrenaline at the end of the finish line. Or just at the beginning, like 1K, and you see the arch, finish arch there, and you run for it. You know, that happiness is what keeps you going. And work, or I always have a team. And when I see the team working together, including me, this is happiness. This is power. When the team is working together, they understand each other. They communicate properly together. This is achievement because I created that team. And I wanted them to work together. I've set up that team. And if they failed, it's because of me, because I didn't select the right people together. Yeah. And this is something I learned from uni. It's up to you as a leading figure to create a team, a winning team. They have to work together. They have to find a passion together to work. They share the same vision in order to achieve the target of the company. And I've done this for 25 years with a real estate company for the family until I said enough because of the stress. And then I moved on into another business side of the company, of the family company. So now I have more time to do training and, be less stressful. Happy. I'm happy. The result, the team is working well with or without me, which is what I want. Yeah.
Amazing.
Do you think your metrics for happiness have evolved or changed over time?
Evolved. At the beginning, it was like putting the hard work.
Mm.
Not necessarily happiness.
Yeah.
But in later on, it was more achieving, created the happiness. It's not how hard you work, it's how smart you work. You can train for hours and hours and hours, but you don't achieve really something.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with life, with working, with family, with training and everything. And I've learned this actually during uni. On the first year, I was spending most of my time studying. My results are A, B's and C's. And then after a year, I say, forget it. I'm not getting anything. I mean, the effort and the results are not equal. They're not in the same level. So I've changed. I don't spend much time. My result is the same. And I was like, okay, how am I going to get to A's? You know, how am I going to reach A? There must be something wrong. So I looked at my time spending. It turned out I need a break. I need to do the hard work. Mm. But at the same time, I need to be to have a break. So I started training. I go to the gym, weightlifting and stuff like that. Even if I have a final tomorrow, I will still go to the gym for an hour or two and then come back fresh. The studies shows that your brain needs a break, mm-hmm. even from studying, even, you know. So when I did this combination, I started getting A's and B's. Improvement. So hard work does not mean always pays off. Smart work really pays off.
Excellent.
Yeah. You're now going from trail running to road running to road triathlons. Yes. We're now into off-road triathlons.
Again, back.
He's come back. Full circle.
Yeah. On the Xterra bus with me.
Yeah.
We had fun in Italy in September in Molveno.
Yes.
You remember that one?
I remember already. I remember showering my bike in the hotel shower.
In the hotel room.
Nobody caught me, thank God.
I was still in the mock-off queue getting our entries for Greece.
By that time, I'm done.
And you, I think I saw it at the end of that race. I've seen you on a couple of finish lines and what you say about happiness, you actually see it in your face.
Yeah,
You are like glowing with happiness of it.
Definitely.
And I look forward to this year seeing you at the finish line of Xterra Oman and Xterra Greece as well.
Yeah, Oman definitely, it is there, it's set, there's a target. And there's also a first place finisher target in my category.
Yes, yes.
For a reason I'll keep for myself. but definitely looking really, that's my main target for this coming up. So definitely,
definitely
working on it.
I can't wait to see how it plays out.
And then there's still another target, which I always try to, I get very close and then it doesn't happen for some reason. And I'm sorry for it, not sorry for it, but
no.
It happens, things happen. So the full Ironman, I want to do that. Yes.
You did, this is an amazing story actually. You have done an Ironman distance, but you did it on your own.
Solo.
Yeah. It was a bit like when Rix and Miranda did theirs solo.
Yes. Correct.
I actually think those probably run a little bit more powerful than doing them as part of a race or event, because you're completely accountable to yourself.
Yes.
And you've just got to get it done. There's no crowd. There's no atmosphere around you. It's
I'm
distance.
I'm doing it for myself.
But you've yet to tick the box of crossing the red carpet.
Official
one.
It has become an official thing.
Yeah.
You know, I learned something from OCR and triathlon. And OCR was I'm always trying to defeat or beat or win over someone. So the challenge is outside. It's right there. Where triathlon, you become the challenge. Yeah. You know, you challenge yourself to really achieve there. Yeah. You don't care about whoever around you, faster, slower. You never know whether they will finish or not.
Yeah.
You know, they might have cramps or breakdown during a run at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and you've maintained your pace, you maintained your goal, and then you, just like that, you come over them, and then this is something I learned from doing that solo. It is me. It's challenging myself, my fitness, my body, and, you know, my mental stats.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between when I was doing OCR, trail running and all that, and when I moved to triathlon.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. It's something you saw a lot of, mate, in Spartathlon from last year, right? It's a race that long. You must have passed I mean, I know some people pass you in the back straight because after you rolled your ankle, but from probably marathon distance all the way to, well, where you rolled your ankle, you were probably passing people that had gone past you at the start.
Yeah, definitely. And it's hard not to be competitive, but at the end of the day, like you say, you're racing for yourself. There is a big team element to it, and you want everyone that you overtake to finish, to share in that event with you. But I'm still competitive. I like taking people.
Yeah.
You know, but sometimes certain race is more important or it has a weight for you than any other race.
Definitely.
You know, I do keep my medals at home. I do hang them. But I have a group of medals. They're hung separately. And my son was asking, why you have these separate than the rest? I said, I have a special feeling for this one. That's the main target I was trying to achieve. The rest is the smaller targets. There are some races which are special and for some reason to you than any other race.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Bahrain was one of them.
Yeah.
Because it's how I felt at the end of the race. Yeah. You know, it shows that you've ticked everything 100%.
Yeah, you raced the perfect race.
Yes. Yeah. Though it was windy and the water was wave, you know, the waves was there.
Yeah.
But still, the achievement is unexplainable. Just there. So nice. Yeah. And that's what keeps you going, right?
Yeah. It is. It's that feeling of being able to execute it again.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Very good. Excellent. Well, Hamed, I think there's so many, probably depending on what type of mind frame people are listening in, they might pull different things out of that.
I hope so.
Which is why I was really excited to get you on to the show. And yeah, hopefully you've inspired a few people as well who maybe are looking to get into the sport of why they should come into it. And I think what's the nice is you've not actually set, it's not about you getting a certain time within a race. It's about you getting a feeling from achieving.
Yes.
Which we can do on any level within endurance sport. Yes.
I think it's really healthy for longevity.
Yeah,
certainly in this sport.
Definitely.
If you're chasing times all the time, then it's not going to last very long.
There's nothing wrong to chase time, but that's not your main objective. Mm-hmm. It should not be, not for me at least. Yeah. And I'm glad if I can help someone think to get into it, even think or ask a question about it. That means I flared something in them, you know. And thank God I have a few friends who started training, running, biking, getting into the gym. They were sitting idle all the time, you know, bench kind of thing, most of the time. I'm glad I can help or be a positive for someone.
Yeah.
Anything. So, yeah. Thank you for having me in this and share my story.
Thank you.
So, it's not that impressive, but I think putting a positive and to someone's life, I think that is more important to me.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And the future of endurance here in Dubai looks amazing. All the things they're planning, the new routes they're building. We've got the Burj to Burj race coming up.
Yeah.
There's so many amazing things happening in the region.
Yes.
That I think endurance sport will just continue to grow and grow.
We're lucky to have the officials or the authorities really building the infrastructure for this.
Yeah.
Imagine if this, for example, Al Qudra is not there, the cycle track. Half of the cycling and the gym and fitness industry will be like out of business.
Yeah, no, we're so lucky.
The environment we live in is so positive.
Yeah.
And we should take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you, Hamed.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.